Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Real Snow at Disneyland, an original locomotive returns, more details are installed in Toontown before its reopening.
Food coming to Toontown, Oscars come to Carthay Circle, we talk to Dawn from the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 8th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a thank you to all current weekly tiers, including Megan M., Liberty M., Michael D., and Lynn P. for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information from the parks themselves. If you'd like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Back in episode 222, we spoke with Debbie and Steve with Designer Park Company about their rope drop bag. If you have been wanting to get one of these park goer bags for yourself, be sure to use our promo code DLWeekly to get 10% off your purchase at designerparkco.com.
Now let's get to the news.
Disneyland is a magical place, so much that it can even have things like snow happen in Southern California. This year has been crazy in terms of weather, but not so far as snow. Weather experts said it was more of what is called grapple, which is snowflakes that collect water droplets on the outer surface. Either way, it was still a surreal to see all the pictures and videos online of real snow, not just snope, at Disneyland.
You had to throw that in there somehow.
I love the term snope. It's so fun.
So I was seeing this, and I've been watching people online post about the fact that it's been raining so much in California. And from somebody who used to live in California, I know that you don't want to get too much rain, but I'm so glad that you are getting rain, because California was a desperate need. And it sounds like a lot of the reservoirs and stuff in the state are starting to come back to at least decent levels, and they're not in a crazy drought for like the billionth year in a row. I know that there's, because of the fires, there's been mudslides and all that stuff, but I think long term, it's great that they're getting water. And Disneyland, you know, we've talked about it a couple times on the episode now, that it's not really designed well to have a bunch of rain, because there's puddles everywhere and there's always cast members out swooshing stuff around. But snow, I would never thought in my lifetime that I would see Disneyland with snow.
I think it's so amazing and so fun for all the people that were there to experience it. That had to have felt so surreal and almost like confusing, as in like, this is like, what's happening? Is this is real. This isn't like someone accidentally turned a machine on to create the snope that they send for either parades and fireworks and all that kind of stuff.
If we were a video podcast, I would put a little counter in the corner of how many times you're gonna say snope.
Well, it's a good thing we're moving on to the next story, so you can't count up anymore.
I will see if you can throw it in there some other place. But I think it's neat. I think that for people, now for me, I grew up in California, I didn't see snow falling until I moved to the Midwest when I was in like my 20s. So it must have been really magical for people. And we had videos from people in our Discord chat and stuff. They were like in the Southern California area posting videos of like picking up kids and stuff, and it was snowing. So really, really nice to see that people that don't get it very often, it's kind of a special treat.
Yeah.
Well, one of the original steam engines of the Disneyland Railroad was returned to carrying guests on a Grand Circle tour of Disneyland this week. The E.P. Ripley, named after Edward Payson Ripley of the Santa Fe Railroad, was taken off the tracks a few years ago for repairs and then underwent a full restoration starting in the summer of 2021. The original boiler had to be replicated along with the headlamp and bell. The parts had to be replicated since they are not manufactured anymore. I didn't even know that the E.P. Ripley wasn't, like, I thought they would like rotate through. I didn't know it had been gone that long.
It's really cool. And it just speaks volumes how much love and care they put into, well, I mean, everything, but specifically the trains here, that they, you know, just because they don't have the parts aren't even created anymore for this. Doesn't matter. Imagineering and Disney is on it. They will create their own parts to make sure that this opening day train can still be going around and around Disneyland. The thing that E.P. Ripley's the one that I always remember, because I feel like, and Teg's got a photo up right now, it's the one that I remember in photos with Walt when Walt is riding mm-hmm. the train. That I don't know if it was his favorite train specifically, but definitely it's one that he's, that there's lots of photos of him on. So that makes it even like more special right. that they pay this, you know, do all this TLC for this train, because it is extra special.
Yeah, I feel it's interesting because there's so many things, and I believe, I don't remember what Disney book I was reading, but they were talking about how they had to manufacture. It was mm-hmm. it was that book that I can't remember now, but anyway, that sometimes they have to fabricate things. Yeah. And one of the things that I think that a lot of us don't think about is a lot of the people that actually know how to operate and maintain steam trains are getting up there in age. Yeah. So they're having to train new people in this craft that, like, really there's not a lot of places that run steam trains mm-hmm. anymore mm-hmm. and authentic steam trains like this. So I'm glad that somewhere somebody's keeping this, I would consider it an art form, kind of running.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, with Toontown fully opening very soon, some new things can be noticed through the construction walls. A new Minnie and Mickey fountain sculpture was installed in front of Cartooneal Park, and the Wishing Tree has been installed and decorated with lanterns. Also, the Cafe Daisy sign has been installed for the new eatery.
Yeah, and we're going to talk
together.
We're going to talk more about the eatery here in a little bit, but yeah, seeing some of these things, the Wishing Tree being put in place mm-hmm. with some things hanging from it, I think looks really cool. I'm excited to see what that looks like at night.
Uh-huh. I was thinking the same thing.
Cafe Daisy's looking cute. I'm excited to try the food, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We've still got some stuff like the market that's still behind the yep. construction mm-hmm. walls, but the new fountain that was, I think Disney, didn't they post? I thought Disney posted like a preview of this popping over the walls, or when they were installing it. I think they had a photo or something on Instagram of them like lowering it into place in the morning. So
it's so cute.
It's very cute. I'm glad that there'll be a fountain.
I'm very excited to see it like turned on and mm-hmm. and moving. And yeah, it's adorable. Who knew? I mean, if you would have told us 5 years ago that we would be this excited about Toontown news, I would have probably thought you were crazy, because poor Toontown was in a sad state for a while. So mm-hmm. it's really fun to see this area of the park get this kind of like be revitalized and yes. have this new energy kind of inserted or like put however you want to say it. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that we talked about how it's like you said, who would have thought we'd be talking about being excited about mm-hmm. Toontown, mm-hmm. like, and bringing, and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, what a great addition to put back there to bring all of the excitement and stuff. And, you know, we've talked about the demise of Toontown for a long time, and it is nice that it's coming through. I think that it's going to be, we've seen only a glimpse of what the whole land is going to look like that's opened so far, and I can't wait to see more of that. Well, we're just a couple of weeks from the reopening of Mickey's Toontown. Well, Disney released the upcoming food offerings of the soon-to-be fully reopened land. From kid-friendly items like the Cheese Please Pizza and Minnie's Mini Corn Dogs mm-hmm. to adult options like the Cheesy Pizza Flopover and a Spring Garden Wrap. This stuff looks so good.
Okay, now this is another thing. If you would have told my past Teresa, you're going to be real excited about Toontown food, I also probably would not have believed you, but I'm excited for these flop over pizzas.
Too.
It sounds weird, but of course, links in the show notes to the Disney Parks blog article on this that does have photos, but the photos make it look delicious. Mm-hmm. So it basically looks like it's a personal sized pizza, but they kind of fold it up so it's more like a sandwich, but it's got all of this cheese like oozing out, and it's topped with like maybe parsley or oregano and more like sprinkles of cheese. It looks so yummy. So yummy. And it looks like a good like grab. You could almost grab and go. It's mm-hmm. not like you have to sit and eat it. And then I'm also excited about the Spring Garden Wrap, which is a plant-based offering coming to Toontown. So the dish combines romaine and quinoa into a wrap, and there's a creamy lemon dressing with toasted pumpkin seeds. And it comes with a side of house-made chips, which look
They do
delish
look very good
as well.
And then for the kids stuff, you know, standard fare, we've got cheese and pepperoni pizzas. Of course, the pepperoni pizzas in the shape of a Mickey with the big pepperoni slice and two smaller. Of course, there's some like mini corn dogs and some mac and cheese. And then mini donuts. I'm so excited for these mini donuts. Or, yeah, mini donuts. Mm.
Daisy's Goody Goody Donuts with cinnamon sugar. And there's also these, what it's, so if you don't get the wrap that comes with a side of chips, you can also snag Toontown Tater Chips, which are the house-made chips with a chili cheese sauce. That sounds like a fun snack. But the thing that I am the most excited for that is no surprise to anyone, but there is a new cold brew coming to Toontown. It's called the Specialty Cold Brew, which is made up of caramel mudslide cold brew coffee from Joffrey's with sea salt and whipped topping. Yum. And there's also, I'm also really excited about the Picnic Time Watermelon Lemonade, which is made with Minute Maid Zero Sugar Lemonade, watermelon premium syrup, and topped with watermelon gummies.
I think that this perfect picnic basket sounds really interesting, too, because you get like the snack size items in there, like cuties, mandarin oranges, yogurt smoothie, applesauce, granola bar, that kind of stuff, Dasani water. And then you get a picnic blanket with it as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to get this.
Really? And I wasn't as excited about this.
Well, I think it's cute. Like, it'd be cute to sit on the grass and have like a little picnic in Toontown. Yeah. Not for the food, but just kind of like the fun of it.
Sure, sure. Yep.
For once, I'm excited about the fun.
I do think it's a cute idea. I don't think I need to like do anything with that picnic basket or even the blanket, but I do think they're cute and I think they're fun.
You know what you do, Teresa? We have this nice little picnic and then we create magic by giving it to some kid.
There you go.
But we get to enjoy the experience of sitting on it.
Well, for a limited time, there is a special exhibit inside Carthay Circle Restaurant. In the foyer of the restaurant, the honorary Oscar that Walt Disney won for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 1937 is on display. It is on loan from the Walt Disney Family Museum in San Francisco.
I've seen this in person, and this was really cool because they have a full-size Oscar statue and then seven tiny ones to represent the seven dwarfs.
I think it's so, so fun. This is something that you've seen lots of photos of, something that, you know, this kind of was almost a hidden secret. I don't think it sounds like from reports that a lot of people don't know that this is there now. So if you're going to the parks soon, do not miss out on this. There's kind of like a little display. This is all in honor of, you know, celebrating the Oscars because the Oscars are coming March 12th is when the Oscars will be. But I think it's really a really cool piece of history. I also love, 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 love that they decided to put this display in the Carthay Circle Restaurant because, as you may know, the Carthay Circle Restaurant is themed and is
modeled after
a real place, which was the Carthay Circle Theater, which is where Snow White and the Seven Dwarves premiered. So I think that's a really fun, cool, full circle thing that they've got. This won't be there. It won't still be on display when we go next, but I am real excited for any Weekly Tears that are able to go see this.
We just got to make a trip up to the Walt Disney Family Museum sometime.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But like I said, I think it's extra cool to see it at the park at the Carthay Circle.
Well, Teresa, I know something else you get excited about that you're also going to miss out this
year. I'm excited about so many Disney things.
Well, one of our favorite holiday events is returning this year. The 2023 Eggstravaganza will begin on March 13th and run through April 9th. To take part in the scavenger hunt and collect a fun collectible egg at the end, guests purchase a game board for $9.99 plus tax and locate all of the hidden eggs around Downtown Disney, Disneyland, and Disney California Adventure. Note that there are three different game boards, one for each location.
That's even better because
I don't think it's ever been three.
The Eggstravaganza, it was
Downtown Disney.
Downtown Disney only. So how fun that it's, you could do it three times and
I'm kind of sad we're missing it because it would be cool to do one in each park.
It would be. It would be. And the eggs this year are just themed to the classic Disney characters, the ones that they're showing here last year. So there's like Mickey and Minnie, Donald and Goofy, like all of the classics, Chip and Dale, you know, the Fab Gang, we'll call them, because I can't ever remember how many. It's Sometimes it's five, six, seven.
But it's been six.
So,
yeah.
But anyways, all the classics. But I think that's so fun that they're doing, you know, the classic characters on the eggs for the Disney 100 celebration.
Yeah, it's such a fun, neat little thing for $10 to take part in it and then be able to do it. I know that Kate and her daughter, Jude, in our chat, they go and do this all the time.
Lots of weekly tours. Like, it's an annual tradition. It's so fun.
So they're going to do, it looks like a marathon and try to do all three in one night again.
The triathlon. It's the Eggstravaganza Triathlon 2023. I love it. I feel like you should get a special prize for doing all three. If I was in charge, I would make that rule. Okay, so I just looked up the eggs. It looks like there's Chip and Dale, two separate eggs, Goofy, Donald, Mickey, and Minnie. So
where do you find that? I want to show it to the stream.
I'm sorry, Daisy. Oh, Goofy got swapped out for Daisy. I was going to say, because a couple of years ago when we did it, Daisy was part of the gang. But it was Chip, Dale, Mickey, Minnie, and then Daisy and Donald. So Daisy and Goofy swapped.
I love Chip and Dale. I'm so glad they're doing more stuff with Chip and Dale.
There is a few merchandise items for the Food and Wine Fest this year, of course. How do you have a festival? You don't properly celebrate a festival without festival merch. But they, of course, include spirit jerseys, mugs, ears, and more. I do have to say, before we get into, I don't know how much we're going to talk about the merch. But the one thing I was real excited about, I think this is the first year that I genuinely like the ears that they came out with for
that's saying something, because usually you don't like them.
Well, because they had it was like the golden fork and spoon on one set that almost looked like, I don't know, it looked like plastic cutlery on there.
So you like this? What was it, like a chef's hat?
It's got a little chef's hat with three little berries that remind me of a hidden Mickey, which I'm sure was intentional. And then it's got it's like a light pink background with different food items printed on the ear. So I see like slices of pie, citrus fruits, avocados. There's that looks like an eggplant to me, perhaps strawberries. Yeah. I think they're adorable.
Yeah.
I think last year there was like a whisk in the middle with the bow.
Sure.
I don't know. I just love the little chef's hat.
Magic
so cute.
Key holder shirt with Stitch and stuff, I think, is nice, which is
super cute.
I think I just stole the next. Yeah. So the next news story, we're talking about magic key holders. There's an exclusive t-shirt that features Stitch eating a slice of cake.
We can just skip that and.
That's all right. So, but I don't know. What do you think of the spirit jerseys?
I'm not as excited about the spirit jerseys. My top thing was the ears.
Yeah, of course. Like, you're the ear person.
Yeah, but not, like I said, not always, because this is the first time that I really liked them. The spirit jersey, I really like the color of the spirit jersey. It's like kind of a
green.
It's a green.
Like a muted green.
It's not like a true green. It's not a neon green. It's kind of a nice, like, nice in between of those greens. I like, and a lot of the other things, the wine tumblers, that stuff, have that same color scheme. And I do really like that color. I think that's a really fun, very good springtime color.
Yeah.
Well, this past Sunday was Adventureland Day at Disneyland. Hundreds of Adventureland fans descended upon the parks dressed in their Adventureland best to follow clues and solve riddles in a treasure hunt to receive a prize. Shout out to our friends over at the Backside of Water podcast. Freddie, who we had on the show a couple months ago, is actually one of the organizers for this. And our friend Alex from the Backside of Water, who you may know because he was just on the podcast with us last week and the week before, was also in attendance. It looks so fun. So fun.
You were very excited about this. I know almost nothing about it, but you were very excited to talk about it like multiple times. So tell people what you know about it other than what we've just said.
Yeah, so basically the big thing is you come and you just celebrate Adventureland Day. So they had a schedule of events that you could participate in if you chose to or not. Some of those things included like group rides around the Jungle Cruise together. They had a sing-along at the Tiki Room where at a certain time they all met at the Tiki Room and filled the theater, I guess, or filled the room with Adventureland fans and all sang along with the birds. Freddie actually did a tour of Adventureland and talked a lot about the SEA and kind of did some history there. There is an Adventureland song that the group sings, and they did this big massive picture of the entire group all on the steps in front of the train station because the group was that big that they couldn't take the group photo in Adventureland. So yeah, I thought that was so fun. So it's just, you know, good fun with fellow adventure fans. I told Vern about it. I said, you know, if we lived in California, you know what we could be doing today? He's like, what could we be doing today?
Thinking, he knew it was going to be a Disney
thing. Disney themed. And I said, it's Adventureland day to day. He's like, what? What is that? Because Vern, favorite attraction, the Jungle Cruise.
Right.
And yeah, he would like, we're going to have to, one of these years, we're going to have to make it a point to go out there and experience Adventureland Day. This is an unofficial event. It is not a Disney, like Disney doesn't organize this. It's a fan event, but it's just so fun.
We need to start writing down all these things we want to do and like
make sure we
approximate times of the year they happen and then try to
jot it down. Plan. Adventureland Day, March.
Adventure.
And the gumball rally was just last day, month.
March.
There's what just was the so other much one? Fun.
I would like to, I've been before, but I'd like to go for the podcast. I like to go to Gay Days, mm-hmm. which is usually, I think
Dapper
it's like the
days.
Weekend that's in the whatever. There's Dapper Days. Well, we've got some going already. All right. A Suite Disneyland Classic has been updated at Pooh Corner. The classic Tigger Tail has been updated with a new coating that replaces the previously orange-colored white chocolate with an orange-flavored confectioner's coating. The new version looks much closer to Tigger's actual tail, and I have never had any of these because I'm not a huge marshmallow fan.
I'm curious about this because
it looks good.
It does. It looks, it's very visually appealing. But the thing that I'm curious about is the orange flavored chocolate and that flavor mixing with the marshmallow and the caramel.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't know there was caramel under here because mm-hmm. I love caramel. So mm-hmm.
I'm really curious. This is not something that like screams gotta get, but It's piquing my curiosity. We might have to get one of these next time just to experience it, just to know. Because this is a very popular, this is like one of the staple Disneyland treats for some people. Some people really like, you know, their thing's churros. Well, some people their thing is Tigger Tails. So
yeah.
I'm very curious about the Tigger Tail.
You know, I think on this next trip, it'll be the best because like Vern and James are really good at just eating whatever.
We can each have a bite. And then it's like, because it's four marshmallows. That's perfect.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to have a whole marshmallow. I just know that, like, I'm not that big of a marshmallow fan, so, unfortunately.
I feel like a bite is almost a marshmallow.
Yeah, but I would do, like, half. Those are big marshmallows, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when I do a s'more, I do half of a marshmallow.
Oh, really?
Because a whole marshmallow is just too much marshmallow for me.
Anyways, it's one of those things I'm curious about. So, if any Weekly Tears are Tigger Tail fans, let us know what you think. Are you excited for the change? Or are you kind of confused and wondering why they're throwing another flavor into the mix because everything was wonderful as it was?
It's always dangerous to mess with somebody's favorite thing.
Could you imagine if they like switched the recipe of like the Dole Whip or something?
To some people, this Tigger Tail thing might be that for them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm curious. Well, finally, there is some additional fun and functionality for the Magic Band Plus system at Disneyland. Some of the Disney 100 statues and medallions in Downtown Disney and Disney California Adventure are now interactive. When guests wave their Magic Bands in front of them, lights and sounds activate. Ooh, ah.
So I'm interested to see because apparently none of these that are in the park are like in the actual
in
park
Disneyland.
Is working yet.
No, there's one in DCA.
DCA. But I feel like, you know, for Disney World's 50th, they had 50 characters you could do this stuff with. So,
but that, from what I gathered, didn't really have a smooth start.
Oh, sure.
And it was kind of, yeah, like, it kind of worked, kind of didn't work. So,
yeah. I'm excited to see what these look like. I haven't seen videos or audio of any of this stuff yet, but I am interested to see what it looks like and what it sounds like when it actually, like, runs.
Are you excited to get your Magic Bands
out? Oh, yeah. Well,
and do more than just...
I'm still mad about the Magic Band situation. Although when we go, I'm hoping that producer James and I will be able to actually play the game because we'll have charged Magic Bands and not have the same problem that happened to us before. I'm not bitter at all,
no,
Disney.
Not at all.
For having a product that's hard to tell if it's... Anyway. For Weekly Tiers who are looking to own a piece of Disneyland itself, there is an upcoming auction you might want to look into. On March 25th and 26th, the Art of Disneyland from Stagecoaches to Monorails and more will be held in Beverly Hills with previews March 20th through the 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Heritage Auctions. For a list of all the items and the location, check out the link in our show notes.
Talk about a rabbit hole. I spent way too much time looking through page by page by page all the different items listed in this really amazing auction. I'm now kicking myself because
Amazon Bell was in there.
I was going to say, because there's some of our trivia question answers were even there, but they have ride vehicles. They have parts of monorails. They had like blueprints and maquettes and all sorts of, there was stuff that was like figures that were of parade floats and different, it's so many things. The thing that, like, the things that probably surprised me the most, they had character costumes. Like parts of character costumes.
Really?
Goofy's pants are up for auction.
Poor Goofy.
I know. Goofy's lost his pants and someone's paying good money for him.
Well, but was that in the main?
So many. I don't even remember what page it was on, because I went through probably 10 pages and then realized it was endless and I needed to stop at some point. Lots of different stuff from the Disney store.
Oh, yeah. Goofy walk around character costume pants.
Goofy pants. Current bid $9. That is.
You could own a pair of pants.
Not going to stay $9 for very long.
But
so many different things. So if you are a collector, definitely go check this out, because there is something in here for everyone. Even if you're not a true collector, there are so many cool things.
I should bid for the train set that I never ended up buying. It's a current bid is $105. I'm sure it's going to go above that.
Cast member safety awareness books. There was different, like, what did I see? There was leaves. Somehow there were leaves from the Splash Mountain attraction. There was also, I mean, just so many different things. I couldn't, thorns from Splash
Thorn
Mountain.
Thorn and leaf props. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, they got to do something with it,
right?
There was
different things and props from the Jungle Cruise. There was like,
let me just look for a prop, like, as the keyword, because there's all
maybe
types
attraction,
of
attraction, because there's a lot of like little
Windows
things.
Display.
A Disneyland Railroad seat decoration prop.
Oh, wow.
There's a piano, fire department band piano prop. A Disneyland Jungle Cruise elephant trunk prop.
Wow.
There's different things. We were talking about the Jingle Cruise. There's different pieces from the Jingle Cruise that are also on auction. We've got Indiana Jones Adventure skeleton skull prop.
Twain
the Country Bear Jamboree Henry Beehive prop, his little drink that was on his, there's chain link, like link chain pieces from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, look, a wheel from Splash Mountain.
Yep, there's a wheel. You can be the proud owner of a wheel. But just, I mean, tons of stuff. There's submarine voyage fish props.
Oh, look at this, there's 35th anniversary.
Yep, there's a door. You can have a Walt Disney World monorail door.
That is cool. Now, what's funny is, yes, they've got the bench and all this stuff, but they actually have a whole monorail car. And I was like, oh, it's not very expensive. But then I realized, where am I going to put a whole monorail car?
You can have an Epcot trash can.
That is pretty cool.
So many cool things.
You know that you're a ridiculous fan when you're like, a garbage can. That sounds so cool.
And you know what? We are all those fans and think that would be so cool to own that garbage can.
Oh my goodness.
It's amazing. There's ambassador pins that were up for auction. There was also awards, cast member like awards.
Alice in Wonderland leaf prop.
It's amazing.
A Peter Pan's Flight Opera House photo prop. Mm-hmm. That's cool. There's too many good things on here, Teresa. Now that
you're only looking at the prop section too.
A Main Street bench.
Yep, amazing. There's so many cool things.
This feeds into the problem, though, that we've learned that things aren't like the original.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you could own a Haunted Mansion prop.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's dangerous.
Look, you can get flags and stuff that were on the street posts. Mm-hmm, and
mm-hmm. Well, Jeff Reitz has done something that we all wish we could say that we did, and that is hold the Guinness World Record for the most consecutive visits to Disneyland Park. Jeff went for 2,995 straight days in a row, which comes out to 8 years, 3 months, and 13 days. Jeff and his friends set out to visit the park all 366 days of 2012, since that was a leap year, and there was a quote-unquote extra day that year. Well, they reached that goal, and Jeff kept going. His last streak day was March 13th, 2020, the day before the parks closed due to the pandemic.
I was thinking, because I saw this news article floating around a couple times this week, and I was thinking to myself, now how hard it would be, because you can't get reservations.
Yeah, he's going to be, he was an annual, you know, if you can do this with an annual pass, and you had blockout days and all that, so if you're an annual pass holder now, you're going to have to buy
tickets
to be able to do this. So this is not going to be an easy record for someone to beat, but what a cool cool, cool accomplishment.
It is definitely a cool accomplishment. I liked how it started too. Him, the friends and him, by the way, I think we said it in the reading that they succeeded at going yes. every single day that year, but now, yeah. I mean, it's really, it's so cool as we've done this podcast and stuff and learned about certain people. There's the guy on Main Street who like waves to every, yeah. like he's at the bench. There's the guy who rides Radiator Springs racers oh, yes. over and over and over. It's so interesting that there's these people that have made a routine mm-hmm. out of going to the park and they've held these kind of records on things. And that's just amazing.
It's very cool.
And we have one final like breaking news, right? So what is this about?
Yes. So, breaking news, we apologize because we didn't even write anything for the story out. So this is kind of us just going off the cuff talking about this. But Bruce Vaughn is returning to Imagineering as the chief creative officer. He will be returning effective March 20th. The cool thing, though, is he left the company in 2016. And he has a really good understanding, and he was an Imagineer for 22 years. Prior to his departure, he was the chief creative officer of Imagineering from May 2007 through his leaving in 2016. But he is back. And if you remember those times, right, 2007 to 2016, there was a ton of cool stuff that happened at the parks during that time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is really fun, really exciting news. I can't wait to see what they do and what cool, amazing things the Imagineering team are able to accomplish and create together. It's exciting to see that there's more focus, especially for Imagineering, because that means more focus on the things that we hold so near and dear to our hearts, which are the parks and the experiences, because that's all 100% the Imagineers with the cast members that create all of those different magic moments that we all just love.
Do we know why he left?
I don't know why he left.
Okay. Because originally I was like, oh, did he leave because they were going to move everybody nope. to Florida? Yeah, but that no. was earlier.
Yeah, I don't. I just really think that I feel like this is going to be a fun creative surge of energy back, you know, and putting the focus back to Imagineering and to the creatives. But in an internal memo sent to the Imagineers by Josh DeMauro, he stresses that, quote, creativity is the heart and soul of who we are and what we do at Disney, end quote. Very, very true. So I'm just super, super excited.
Well, I mean,
this.
And that's what Bob Iger was saying, right? Is mm-hmm. that we're going to put more creatives back in the lead of things.
Yes.
So Vaughn had worked for Disney more than two decades before leaving in 2016 to head Dreamscape Immersive.
Oh.
And before coming back, he was an executive with Airbnb.
Gotcha.
So
very exciting. Cannot wait to like learn more and see, you know, see what they do and what comes of this.
Yeah.
But some of the like amazing things that happened was other projects were like the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy Cruises, the new Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom, Pandora, World of Avatar at Disney Animal Kingdom. Oh. Cars Land was also a project that was going that
so
happened during the time
stuff.
That he was there. Mystic Manor and Grizzly Gulch over in Hong Kong
Mystic
were
Manor's
created
amazing.
While he was, you know, when he was at Disneyland prior. So there's some really amazing things that happened during his time that he led as chief creative executive. So I'm
this
excited.
Is good.
I'm excited. I'm real excited for this.
This is good.
Pilots, we've detected some producer questions near Jakku. Report to your DL weekly vessels and make the jump to hyperspace. The 77 Squadron will provide support during your trivia mission. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? You ready to answer some tough ones?
Because
I'm not even going to beat around the bush. This is going to be a rough night.
Oh, boy.
You ready?
Sure.
Excellent. Let's get to it then. Your first question tonight from listener Brooke A. What is the title of the theme song of the Main Street Electrical Parade?
the Baroque Hoedown.
Yep, the Baroque Hoedown.
Is that your final answer?
If it's not Baroque, don't fix it. What movie is that from, Tag? Quick.
The castle with the beast, yeah.
Also known as Beauty and the Beast.
Well, for some reason, Beauty and the Beast, I always think of the castle first for some reason.
Or if it's not Baroque, it might be Renaissance.
Don't fix it.
Oh my goodness.
Ed, your second question today from listener Tara F. There are two display windows outside Coca-Cola Refreshment Corner on Main Street USA in Disneyland. How many bottles are in those displays?
I don't even know if I could tell you anything about those.
I think it was Philander was talking about these windows. I don't remember how many bottles there are.
Do you know about these windows?
Huh?
Tag, do you know about these windows?
I don't know anything about these windows.
I was double checking the answer on this and doing a little research, and it's kind of a little mini museum, an homage to the history of the Coca-Cola bottle and how it has evolved through the years. And there are Coca-Cola bottles that have been produced internationally, and it's a fascinating little display.
I will say, I'm just going to pick, let's see, it's a... Let's see.
I'm going to pick 55.
I'm going to pick 67, right? Just then 67 right now?
Sure.
I'm going to pick 67 because that's all I got. And you said 55.
I'm going to go with 55.
All right. So your answers are 67 and 55. Is that your final answers?
55 is a good choice. Yeah.
All right. Your third listener submitted question from listener Tabitha E. What are the names of all the portraits painted on the wall within the Pirates of the Caribbean queue?
Oh.
What do you mean, what are they?
What are their names?
So Captain Barbossa is one of them.
On there.
Captain Jack Sparrow is on there. There's two women. I don't remember their names.
There was one, because I saw this on an Imagineering Monday thing from Philander on Instagram that there
Philander
used to be
all the shout outs
that there used to be a contest or something. One of the guests used to be there, but that's not there anymore.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Oh, so probably I know, Red. I think Red is one of them.
I don't know if
she?
Red's on there or not.
I'm going to say Red.
There is like two women like together.
Okay.
I want to say.
So you said Barbossa, Sparrow.
Is Lafitte in there?
Oh.
I'm going to say Lafitte.
I'll jump on board that boat.
And you said Red. It's not Red. It's someone else. And there's another.
Because there's five?
Just for clarification's sake, how are you spelling Red?
R-E-D-D. I'm stuck on the two women. It's in the two. The one that's the two ladies is not Red.
I don't
Red.
Even know who else would, like, I don't know what that, I don't know.
I'm just going to leave mine at that.
Okay. So I
said. I'm going to hurt myself trying to think.
So I said Barbossa, like, Jack Sparrow, Red with two D's, and Lafitte. And Teresa said Barbossa, Sparrow, and Lafitte.
And there's the two women.
And two women. But
I don't remember the women's names.
I'll just write two women. She has a little woman? Oh.
She has a little woman?
All right, so we have Barbossa, Jack Sparrow, Lafitte, Red, and the two women.
No, I'm going to jump on your Red boat because I think Red is there now that you said that.
Oh my!
Now
goodness.
That I'm thinking, I'm gonna jump with Red.
Now that you're thinking, so Red and
there,
one woman.
No. They're the two.
There's still two women.
Yeah, there's still two women.
Okay. Final answer.
Yeah.
Final. I hope.
Okay.
Well, it has to be. Move on quick. Then she can't go back.
And your fourth and final regular round question, submitted by listener Donna S. How many total Jungle Cruise boats are there?
Ooh.
And how many run at a time?
Ooh.
I'm gonna say 12, and I think like 7 run at a time.
14 is sticking out for me. I have no idea why.
And how many
and
run at a time?
I'm trying to think of like the loading and load, like how many we see at a time.
There's usually 3 at the dock, and then one like around the corner, then however many are out.
I'm going to say there's like 10 running at a time.
10 running at a time?
It's a pretty wide, big jungle.
Yeah, but you don't see a lot of, like, they space them out pretty well, I want to say.
They do when they don't.
Now we'll find out.
So, Teresa, you're saying 14 and 10?
Yeah.
And, Tag, you said 12 and 7.
Dang it. We should have asked Alex last week.
Okay.
What the numbers were.
Yeah, like we're going to remember.
I would have had a much better shot. Much better chance.
All right. And your first bonus question. How many of the Jungle Cruise boats can you name?
Oh, no.
Well, there's like the Amazon Queen.
No.
The Amazon Queen.
I knew this was going to happen when you started talking about Jungle Cruise boats. This is I don't know why this is such a difficult question for me to remember. We've talked about this before. I think we've had this as a question before. And I just cannot remember the names of the boats.
Well, I know there's like the Amazon
Queen.
Something
Nelly. Isn't there something, Nelly?
I don't know.
I
think
Congo
there's like a Zambezi
something.
Because it's all like rivers, isn't it?
Yes. But I don't know.
I got Amazon
I
Queen.
Even. And there's something about the Congo.
Oh, maybe it's the Congo Queen.
Maybe they're all queens.
I don't think they're all queens.
I don't know. No, they're not all
queens.
I'm going
to put the Congo queen on here as well because...
I can't.
There's also like the something lady, isn't there? There's like the something lady and...
This is somehow my brain just can't retain
yeah.
these names.
I think the bonus has stumped us mm-hmm. largely, Vern.
Okay.
Especially because we have to be naming at least 12 or 14 of them.
Yeah. Amazon queen, Congo queen, and the something lady.
And the something night.
And the something lady.
Okay.
We've got the two women in the pirate yep. queue, the something lady over at the Jungle Cruise. We're doing real well.
Yeah, real well.
And your extra bonus question tonight.
You felt sad for us. That's
because this one fascinated me. In the holidays, the Jungle Cruise boats changed their names. Do you know any of those?
Not anymore. They used to.
Oh. Well, do you know what they were?
No.
No.
Jingle something.
Jingle something?
Yeah.
Like the something
well,
lady?
Well, I mean, it's the Jingle Cruise, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Yep. We're sunk on that one.
Okay. Well, listeners, how do you think they did?
Terrible.
And how did you do
you
listening at home? If you'd like to find out how many they got correct, you'll have to stick around until after the discussion.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are welcoming to the show Don Morin, who is from the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meat, which is one of the, I think, largest, actually, not even one of, but the largest third-party Disney meetup thing. I'm sure he'll tell us all about it. Welcome to the show, Don.
Gosh, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm honored to be here and chat with you, have a conversation. I'm excited.
Well, we're super excited too, Don. I am like chomping at the bit, wanting to learn more about the mouse meat. But before we talk about that, we want to get to know you a little bit better.
Oh,
so
can
you tell us your Disney story? So what kind of got you interested in either the movies, the parks, you know, what's kind of your history?
Yeah. Really good question. Back in, I'll go back a little ways to the very beginning of my Disney-ness. Back in junior year of high school, I was in a creative writing class and our creative writing teacher, I didn't really know much about Disney then. I'd never been to Disneyland. I didn't know much about Walt Disney. And so our creative writing teacher, he gave us this list of historical figures to write about. And there was Abraham Lincoln and all these people. And then I saw Walt Disney on there. And I thought, this guy isn't even real. Like he's Betty Crocker or something. The teacher made a mistake. And so I'm going to do this for fun. Choose Walt Disney. And so I did. And then, you know, back then, I won't say how long ago, but encyclopedias and that, you know, I did what research I did and I started to learn that this isn't just a real guy, but wow, he did some things, some amazing things, cutting edge things, inventive things. And so I gained more and more of an interest. And the more things that came out, I'd search magazines and different things. Life magazine had some stories on him and things like that, and did just continue to do research on Walt. And so that's what I'm really a fan of is Walt Disney and what he did and how he does how he did his business and how they continue to do that today, giving people more than they expect, making things magical, just an amazing experience. Try and do that in my real job as well as my fan events. So then I started going to Disneyland when I was a little bit older and getting to feel that magic and, you know, you get involved with all that. And just really fell in love with it all. And I have lots of books on Walt Disney, and I still continue to study him and try and do things like maybe he would have, and I love talking to Imagineers that worked with him or continue his ways and into the future. So that's where my passion lies. And that's what I really love about everything Disney.
What a unique story. I love that this came from like a school project.
Yeah, who knew?
I just love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, pay attention, kids. Thanks. Who's listening? This could lead your whole rest of your life, depending on what you're going to do in school.
That's right. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, on that paper that I thought was a mythical figure but became real, I ended up getting an A+ on that, and so it was pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
Better.
Yeah.
So, Don, when you go to Disneyland on the first day of a visit, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go straight through the castle towards Frontierland? Do you go right towards Tomorrowland? Now, because Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway just opened, and previously to that, you had Galaxy's Edge and everything, you could say before or after these things of what kind of the attack plan is.
Yeah, I love that question, too. So previously, years ago, I'd be there at Rope Drop. I'd hear the spiel at Rope Drop, and I'd go left, and I'd just go crazy for, you know, but even before Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Or before, sorry, I'm not that old. Before Indiana Jones, I was going to Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion, but and Jungle Cruise. But now today, I take more of a laid back approach. You know, I'll go and sit, I'll seek out a bench in the hub and just take in all the sounds. And there's certain areas where you can sit in the hub where you'll hear the Mark Twain steam whistle. Yeah. And you can also hear the Yeti from the Matterhorn on the other side. And you, and then the music in the hub and the people walking by and the excitement of everyone. I love that so much. And so I kind of sit there and soak that in for a while, maybe grab a corn dog, a churro, a Dole Whip, and I can go on a chimichanga.
I can go up. All the snacks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I take a more laid back approach now and just kind of stroll and soak it in, right?
I believe we refer to that as let the Disney winds take you where they will.
Yes.
Love that.
So speaking of attractions, since you listed a couple there, I'm curious, what is your favorite attraction? Now, yes, this is a Disneyland podcast, but this can be at any of the Disney parks anywhere. What's your favorite attraction?
Yeah, so I will go right over to Disneyland and I will say, and I don't know if this is cliche or classic, but Pirates of the Caribbean. It's such an immersive attraction still yet today. And it's still a wonder to ride that attraction for 16 minutes, unless you get caught at the bottom of the lift of the hill, and then you're there for 27 minutes and when it backs up. But it's so immersive. There's so many animatronics. There's so much detail. You still see things today. And I think it's cool that they're still doing upgrades to it, because then there's new things to see still. But I love to imagine back in like 1967, when that ride opened, how amazing that must have been to a guest, not really ever seeing animatronics, not really being immersed in a ride or attraction for that length of time, or even at all. The detail that's in that ride, right? You know, I mean, before Disneyland, there was amusement parks, right? As all the stories about Walt have gone, and they'd ride a outdoor roller coaster or a little hokey little haunted ride thing. But this was just spectacular. It must have just blown people's minds at the time. So I think about that when I ride the ride, and I daydream on park benches, on Pirates of the Caribbean boats. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I think that's exactly what Walt would want people to do, is to go and enjoy themselves in whatever way strikes your fancy. And I think that your explanation of reasoning of, you know, why you like it and stuff is great, because one of the follow-up questions I usually have when people pick Haunted or Pirates is, what is it about it that makes it your favorite attraction? Because there's such a variety of attractions, and, you know, there's really technological, right? Like Rise of the Resistance. There's more simple attractions, you know, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway now. So it's like, what about this older, over 50-year-old attraction makes it better than anything that's come since then, you know? So I think you explained that quite well.
I will add to that, though. I mean, that's a great point. And I will add to that, that a lot of attractions have come out in the last couple decades that are really quick. I mean, it kind of started with maybe an Indiana Jones, where it's spectacular, but it's 4 minutes and you're knocked through there pretty quickly, scene by scene by scene, and then it's over. Or like Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, or Guardians of the Galaxy Now, or any of those. But Pirates is a lengthy one, but the one in Galaxy's Edge that you just mentioned, I always forget the name of it. Rise of the Resistance. That has length to it. It has detail. It has different aspects to it, different ride systems. It is so incredible to me. And I'd put that right there with Pirates of the Caribbean, because I think it's such a tremendous technological advancement and immersion. I've never felt so inside of a movie or a story as I have with that attraction.
I always feel like I'm not, you know, the most intelligent person, but it's always amazing to me with, like, Pirates and Haunted. I am convinced, I know this is not how it is, but I'm convinced that while we're on that attraction, I'm in that mansion the entire time, that facade. Like, it's just, I know the layout, I know exactly where it goes, but still, it's so incredible how it just, reality is just gone and you fully believe what's going on. Same thing with Pirates, though. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. It's spectacular.
Disney magic.
It is.
Nothing like it.
So, Dawn, for people who may not be familiar with it or anything, what is the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet and how did that get started?
Thank you for asking. And the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet is a fan event I developed for Disney fans 13 years ago or so, 2009. And
Wow.
The reason I developed it was I was going to events down in California when I could, you know, I mean, in the mid 2000s, early 2000s, I wanted to hear stories about Walt Disney. And so I'd go down and see these Disney people who Imagineers or animators who worked with Walt and told stories about Walt. And so I would travel down there to see these people, but I couldn't always get down there. And I had friends that were like, gosh, I wish I could have gone with you. That would have been neat. And so I was talking to some friends one time and I said, you know, it kind of be cool if there was something like this here. Like, is there anything like that up here in the Seattle area? And they said, no, but you should do it. And so I'm like, well, that's not what I was thinking, but okay, I'll give it a try. And so the first year I put it together, and I had no idea if there was 20 Disney fans or 1,000, or I had no idea what was in the Pacific Northwest. And so I took a chance and did this, and did in a smaller area of a venue that I was at. And I sold it out the first year at 150 tickets. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. We had the model for Tinkerbell, Margaret Carey there, and some others. And now 13 years later, 14 years later, with, you know, a couple of years off for the COVID thing, we're thriving fantastically. Our event, now we're up to 500 guests. And we cap it at that to keep it a smaller, intimate event. Mm-hmm. And I think our guests really enjoy that it's smaller and more intimate like that. Everyone can do everything. They can see all the vendors. They can see each guest speaker presentation. They can meet and take a picture or get an autograph with our guest speakers if that's something they want to do. So they get to do everything. Where some other events, cons or you know, like Disney's D23, which is spectacular, you can't do everything, right? Mm-hmm. You have to pick and choose. Where ours is, hits a sweet spot where you can do just about everything. So we have Disneyana vendors, we have sponsor travel people, we have photo ops we build, great displays that you can get your photo with. And then we have always try and bring up fantastic guest speakers every year and put on a show. And it's a lot of fun.
I was looking at the website and you have listed some of who, you know, people that you've had in the past, and you've got quite the list. Of course, we've got several former Imagineers. I'm looking at Joe Rohde here, Tony Baxter. I think Kevin Rafferty was on here, Bob Gurr. Yeah. I mean, like, such a cool, it's amazing to me that being, you know, kind of a new event, when you were starting out, being a newer event, that you were able to connect with these people and they shared that same excitement and came up and helped you kind of grow this event to what it is. That just sounds incredible.
The guests that have attended our event from first year and throughout, and it's, you know, there's been new people and people have moved away but people do come from all over the country, 10 different states every year or so on average, and Canada. But yeah, absolutely. We've been able to bring up so many folks. And I remember a year or two, I had Disney legend Bob Gurr up. Yeah. And a buddy of mine who was on my team, we did this thing at my house before the event, and Bob Gurr is sitting in my house at my kitchen table, and my buddy walks in and he just stops and his jaw hits the floor and he pulls me aside and he's like, Don, you have Bob Gurr in your kitchen. Like, it doesn't get any better than, like, it's never going to get better than this, right? And so we laughed and we thought about it, and it was quite the honor, right? I mean, I was one degree away from Walt Disney at that moment, and that was pretty spectacular. And Bob and I have become good friends, but we've had many Imagineers, many animators, you know, Marty Sklar, a Disney legend, come up several times and support our event immensely. Voice of Mickey Mouse, the voices of Disneyland and Disney California Adventure and Donald Duck and Goofy. And it's just been an honor to be able to have all of these people come up to the Pacific Northwest and share their stories with hundreds of Disney fans. It's truly an honor.
That sounds so amazing. I mean, first of all, I mean, just to kind of for our listeners who don't understand this, it is very difficult to sometimes book people like this. And we're just trying to get them like on a Zoom call with us. You're somehow getting these folks to travel to you and everything. So
yeah,
that's an amazing feat. And I know it gets easier, I think, you know, if you've, you know, once you've had some higher tiered folks, you know, they kind of, there's some legitimacy to it and they don't feel like, where are we going? You know, like Bob Gurr in your kitchen, like, whose house are we going to? Like, yeah. Is this going to be some crazy Disney person who's going to lock me up in their basement or something? So, but man, I'll tell you,
I may have done that once or twice. Amazing. I don't know.
There you go. But that's amazing that you've had such a wide variety of people. And I think that the Pacific Northwest people really appreciate the fact that they get that access, because you're absolutely right. Teresa and I are in the Midwest, and we don't get any Disney anything really out here.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's some stuff in Chicago, mm-hmm. but nothing really. I mean, you're either in Orlando or you're in Anaheim area. Sometimes there's some stuff at the Walt Disney Family Museum in San Francisco. So good on you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And
yeah, it's a ton of work.
Not many people know this, but right before COVID hit, I was actually working on plans to take my event on the road and hit like 2 cities a year. And then that all fell apart, you know, and so I don't know what the future holds. But you know what you said about trying to book these folks. It in the beginning, it was really challenging. And I think where I've been very fortunate is I've created an event that respects Disney very, very much. I do everything I can to keep the respect and honor what Disney is all about, honor the rules. And I've had to jump through a lot of hoops sometimes when I'm trying to secure an actual Disney, someone who is still employed at Disney, current Imagineer, retired is much easier. But, you know, we're kind of known unofficially as the best Disney fan event in the country that's not run by Disney. And that, you know, many of our Disney past Disney speakers will say that, and a lot of our guests will say that. And that is so, so nice of them to say that. But what that helps us is that they will recommend me and the event. And so I just reached out to a couple of past guests to introduce me to some people I want to talk to for this year's event, for example. And they're just so kind and generous to be able to do something like that for me. But I think it says something about the event and the guests mm-hmm. that attend, that, you know, all our guests are fantastic as well. So it says a lot about all of that, I think.
Oh, definitely. You know, I was actually just going to ask how, you know, with so many amazing, amazing people that are out there in the Disney universe, like you said, there's voice actors, there's animators, there's, you know, yes, of course, the parks, and there's just so many different things. How do you as an organizer kind of shift down and figure out, you know, do you start with a theme, or how do you figure out who it is that you want to approach to come be part of these events?
Yeah. Wow. Good question. Early on, it was just like, please, somebody just trust me, please. I'll do mm-hmm. a good job and come help me. But, you know, we built those relationships over time. And so now I have the opportunity to kind of plan it out, like you say. And so, for example, last year I had 2 Imagineers. And I had 3 voice actors. I had the voice of Mickey Mouse and the voice of Disneyland and the voice of Disney California Adventure. The Imagineers were Kevin Rafferty and Sherita Carter. And then the 3rd guest speaker slot was Roger Gould from Pixar. And his job is to ensure that whatever's happening in a Disney park is correct with the characters and the story from the films. And so he's kind of this cross between the parks and Pixar, which is amazing. But so I say all that. That was last year's an example, because I want a variety, right? An Imagineer segment and a voices segment and a animator segment or something like that. I want to offer variety each year. Sometimes we get 2 Imagineers, and that's fun too. Who doesn't like more Imagineers? But trying to vary that, and it's a lot of fun. You never know who has availability. They might want to come, but are they available? And it's fun. It's a little stressful, but it's also a lot of fun to see how it all works out and who is able to come. And then I get to announce that to all of our guests that have bought tickets. And that is the best thing ever, to be able to announce like, hey, we're going to have these folks. It's exciting.
That is amazing. I will say, you were talking about legitimacy and stuff, and I see on your website that one of your sponsors is D23. Like, you'd think it'd be like competition, but they are somebody who's like, yeah, okay, we'll sponsor you.
Yeah. You know, they're so kind over there. They've come to my event for a number of years now. They've either had space, a booth at my event to talk to all the Disney fans, and or they've helped out in different ways. Our grand prize last year at the end of the day was a private tour of the Walt Disney Studios.
Oh, wow.
And they helped us with that, for me to secure that. And so just the different ways that, and they did a member mixer the night before my event for their gold members, so they could offer a value or something for their gold membership to do locally in the Seattle area. And so hopefully they find that it's a benefit to them, because all of these Disney fans are, you know, obviously they're Disney. Everyone loves what they do. And so they're very generous in supporting what we do and recognizing, I guess, the most amazing thing is they recognize that we're doing things in such a manner that we respect Disney, and they see that, and they are willing to do some things with us.
That's a really incredible honor, and like something that's not easily earned either. So congrats to you on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, I can't do a lot of things. Like I can't put Mickey Mouse everywhere, you know, but we do. It's the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, and we're celebrating all things Disney. Mm-hmm. And so we can do that. We can have our logos, our Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet logos and our theming, and we can make these photo op displays that are themed to a under the sea kind of thing or a pirates kind of thing. And we can get really close, but we don't want to step on anybody's, you know, we don't want to step over the bounds, right? We want to be very respectful and then bring up these guest speakers and they can tell their own stories of working at the parks, right? Or in the company.
That's so cool. So can you, for those of us, Tag and I included, that have not been able to attend your awesome event yet, can you kind of give like a rundown or kind of explain to us what, you know, what does the weekend entail? Is it just a one day thing? Is it a full weekend? What can you expect?
Oh boy. So Saturday is our big day. That's our main event day. And that's where we have three guest speaker times. We have rope drop and we have Disney Anna vendors and things to do and interactive things and games. And there's a theater where people can come watch the guest speakers. And it's very theatrical, I guess, for lack of a better word. And we make videos to kind of introduce things and make them fun, tongue in cheek, Disney style themed videos. Hopefully they're fun and funny. And then guest speakers come on and I'm the host. And so I'm on stage as well. And the guest speakers do an amazing job always. And we also have a charity aspect where we have a bunch of amazing raffle prizes that people can donate to and try and win at the end of the day. And it's just such a fun day. And in the slower times, people get to meet each other and chat and meet new friends and talk Disney, which is fantastic. There's pin trading and lots of other things. So that's the main event day on Saturday. Friday night, though, we found a lot of people get into town from out of town and they stay in the hotel. So we started a Friday night kind of meet and greet thing and where everyone got together and they can have fun and we can do trivia and do dinner and have a good time. It's more unofficial. It's not an official event, but we try and do a welcoming thing. And there's room door decorating in the hotel. So there's lots of fun there. And then Saturday's the main event. And then sometimes on Sunday, we have kind of a secondary little speaker event that we do. But that depends on what guest speakers I have that year and their timing. Sometimes they want to get out of town, you know, get back home early Sunday. And sometimes they stick around and we can do something Sunday morning as well. So wow. We try and make a weekend of it.
That sounds so fun. So just for those of you that are curious, I actually had gone on YouTube and found that there is a Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet YouTube. Ooh. And there was these really fun videos. So whoever is in charge of that, I'm going to assume that's you, Don. Great job at giving like little snippets and kind of like a taste of what to expect for the weekend. Mm-hmm. There was a video about, I think it was like the door decoration contest. So you can kind of see those displays were, I'm impressed. And I'm sure the video probably didn't even do it justice compared to what it looked like in person. I was just like, how did these people get all of this, like travel with all of this stuff to make this amazing display? Right. But then there's also little highlight videos and stuff. And it looks like so much fun. So it's really incredible what you've been able to kind of put together and create for a passionate group of Disney fans like ourselves.
That's really, really nice of you to say. Thank you. Yeah, we have those videos. They're kind of recap clips of past years and the door decorating, which is so fun. And we're going to actually be plussing that up this year. But we can't believe how people decorate these doors in their rooms. They open up their room and they create this whole theme. And it's absolutely incredible what they do. Hey,
I don't think you've seen it, but these people, there was like snacks. There were games like just in addition to just the decoration, there was a photo booth in one of them. I'm like, these people, this is amazing.
Well, Don, what you don't know is Therese is about ready to go on a Disney cruise for the first time ever. And she has been spending a ton of time. I don't know how familiar you are with some of the stuff that happens on a Disney cruise, but she's got what is that? Fish extenders. She's really big into this. And I know from seeing stuff that people decorate their doors and all. So it sounds very much like that type of a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very similar. And a lot of people that decorate their room doors in the hotel have said, yeah, I've been on a cruise and I've done the decorating there and then we're just plussing it up here. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with the fish extenders, but I'm allergic to fish. So I'm
Teresa went down a rabbit hole. Basically, you get paired up with some folks and you kind of do like a Secret Santa gift exchange kind of thing.
Oh.
Because on the outside of the rooms, I guess there's, I'm sorry, Teresa, I'm explaining this all
for
you.
No, you're doing wonderful.
but there's on the outside, they have this little fish where they'd normally put like the guide for the day's activities and stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
And people hang things off of it and like little envelopes and stuff, and people can put things in it and do kind of a Secret Santa gift exchange situation. And Teresa's really bought into it. She said all weekend her cricket has been fired up and smoking and everything and trying to
get some
things together. Before you came on the call, she was showing me all these pictures of things she's created for it and everything. So
I love that. I need to see pictures when you do this and see what you did. You know, after our event last summer, and this happens every year, I always get messages from people saying, we had so much fun and we're already planning our room door for next year. It's amazing.
So cool. Tag, you need to find this video because these...
I pulled up their website, or the YouTube, I mean.
Yeah, so there's one that was like, it looked like the mantle from the house from Up on some... And there was like a jungle themed one. There was... What else was there? There was...
Oh my goodness, there's a whole like thing, tiki, I mean, setup. And...
Yeah, they're like, it's not just, here's a couple of things like... On the wall. No, some people
making
built, like, sets.
Buttons. buttons, it looks
That's
like.
Crazy.
It's incredible.
Wow.
Oh, I saw the voice of Disneyland was even walking around doing some stuff. Wow.
Yeah, Bill and Cammy are good friends, and they were here last year again, and they went around and helped me judge all the rooms, and that was a ton of fun.
I don't know how you can judge those because they're all just. So it's amazing in different ways.
It's a lot of pressure.
I found one of my favorites. Somebody has a fireworks display going on at the front of theirs.
There's lights and all kinds. Everybody goes over the top. It's absolutely
We'll put a link in the show notes to the YouTube page so people can go see this for themselves, because obviously audio podcasts can't show it to folks, but go click the link and check it out. It's pretty, pretty interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. How do you feel about how you did tonight?
Not well. The time talking with Don did not make it any better.
Oh, well, should we get right into it and find out?
Sure.
All right. Your first listener submitted question tonight. From listener Brooke A.
Thank you, Brooke A.
What is the title of the theme song of the Main Street Electrical Parade? Both of you guessing Baroque Hoedown. And the correct answer that we were looking for was Baroque Hoedown.
Woohoo!
High five.
Nice work, Teresa.
Your second listener submitted question tonight from listener Tara F. There are two display windows outside Coca-Cola Refreshment Corner on Main Street USA in Disneyland. How many drinking bottles are in those displays? Tag said 67. Teresa said 55. The correct answer that we were looking for, including a six-pack that is complete and an errant bottle on the display floor, is 17.
I was just 50 off.
I was only 50 off.
I feel like I need to put in like the ba-bum, ba-bum.
And your third regular round question tonight.
It's all downhill from here, Vern. All downhill.
It's very,
from
very
listener Tabitha E. What are the names of the portraits painted on the wall within the Pirates of the Caribbean queue? Your answers were Captain Barbossa, Captain Sparrow, Lafitte, Red with two D's, and the two women.
My money's on the two women.
The correct answer that I was looking for was actual historic pirates, Anne Bonnie and Mary Red, R-E-A-D, Red.
Oh, dang it.
Which is why I needed confirmation on how you were spelling. That's the two women. Actual historic pirates, Captain Edward Ned Lowe, Captain Charles Gibbs, Sir Henry Mainwaring, Sir Francis Verney,
Gibbs.
And then fictional pirates, Captain Jack Sparrow and Captain Barbossa. And then Mademoiselle Greenwell, the winner of the Become a Disney Pirate contest that accompanied the release of Dead Man's Chest.
Oh, for some reason I didn't think they had that. Well, Red should be there.
So, Vern, I missed part of you. When you said the fictional ones, you said Barbossa and who?
And Sparrow.
Jack.
Okay.
Yeah, Captain Jack.
Captain Jack and Captain Barbossa are the fictional.
At the moment when...
Is it? I'm confused. I thought it must be a different Gibbs. I thought Gibbs was part of...
I mean, it could have been an homage to the real Gibbs.
Well, we got two.
And your fourth and final regular round question of the night. How many total Jungle Cruise boats are there? And how many run at a time? Tag said 12 boats, 7 running at a time. And Teresa said 14 boats, 10 running at a time. The correct answer we were looking for was 12 total boats.
Ooh, good job.
8 running at a time.
So
I was only one off. Hey, that's a half a point, though.
That's a half point for you.
Yeah, something, I don't know, tickle. Said
a dozen.
12. 8? That's pretty good, though, at a time.
Mm-hmm. So somewhere between 7 and 10.
And now we get to hear
I'm
how...
I'm trying to up the capacity of Jungle Cruise. Well, I apologize.
Well, now we get to hear
how
terrible we've done at this.
And your first bonus question, submitted by listener Donna S. How many of the boats can you name?
Not many.
Your
not
answers. Many. Amazon Queen, Something Nelly, Congo Queen, Something Lady.
Yep, that sounds like us.
Sad.
The
sad,
correct answers
sad.
That I was looking for. Amazon Annie, Congo Connie, Ganges Gertie, Hondo Hattie, Irrawaddy Irma, Quango Irma. Kate, Nile Nelly, Orinoco Ida, Sankuro Sadie, Akuyali Una, Yangtze Ying Ying, Zambezi Zelda.
Whew. Did we get anything right?
Have these always been their names, though, Vern? Do you know?
I believe there have been changes through the years. This is the most current list I was able to find.
Yeah, because I thought they used to have more like Queen and blah, blah, blah.
Congo Queen came up in a few websites, but Congo Connie was the most frequently found and the most currently found.
Gotcha.
This definitely feels like a newly revised list that has been changed through the years.
Sure.
Vern, where did you get your list from?
This is off, specifically this one is off Wikipedia, but I had it backed up by another site too.
Because I'm seeing Congo Queen for Disneyland, but there's... Congo Connie is a different one.
This is the Disneyland subset from Wiki.
Oh, Lord.
Because there is also a Magic Kingdom subset in Wiki.
Because there's the Jungle Cruise Wiki's got them different.
Oh, no, sorry. We were on the junglecruise.fandom.com, the Jungle Cruise Wiki. So I'm tempted to go with Wikipedia because I feel like that's something that's more...
I don't know. I feel like this one
well,
is up for debate.
Well, next time we go... We should.
We're just going to sit there and wait for them all to go past.
Or if you work at the Jungle Cruise, feedback at DLWeekly.net or message us on social media.
And your extra bonus question, inspired by, not specifically asked by, Donna S. Do you know the old holiday names of the Jungle Cruise boats? And from my research, I was able to find, so you said Jingle Something. And in my research, I was able to find... Jingle Annie.
Woohoo!
Well done to you. Candy Cane Connie. Gingerbread Gertie. Hanukkah Hattie. Irrawaddy Snow Woman. Quango Under the Mistletoe. Noel Nelly. Navidad Ida. Sugar Plum Sadie. Evergreen Una. Yuletide Ying Ying. And Peppermint Zelda.
Wow.
So fun.
You know, I wonder why they don't bring back the Christmas version. Because they still do the Christmas version in Disney World.
I know. I wanna experience it.
So how poorly did we do, Vern? Pretty poorly.
Tag got 1.5 points.
Woo!
Teresa got a point.
Woo!
I think that's a good job, us.
Mm-hmm. That was a tough week. Tough week.
Well, listeners, do you think you've got some great questions that are going to stump them just as much next week? If you've got that perfect question that you'd really like to hear on the air, feel free to send that to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.